In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word of God says in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 31 to 32, "So do not worry. Do not say, 'What are we to eat? What are we to drink? What are we to wear?' It is the Gentiles who set their hearts on all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all." Brother and sister, your heavenly Father knows what you need. Those who do not know God, the Gentiles, worry for all these things. So the question we should ask ourselves is, do we know God? And the truth is that not many know God, and we should all start from this point. If I only more or less know God, then this is my reality, and only when I accept this reality will I have the opportunity to move forward from there. If I say to myself that I know God, and therefore I live with worries, then I am a liar. God says in His Word, "Those who do not know God live in worries," because the Word of God says in the next verse, 33, "Seek for the kingdom of God first, and on God's saving justice, and all these other things will be given you as well." The problem is that we are looking to have first these other things that will be given. First, search for the kingdom of God, practice His justice, and all these things, meaning the solution to your worries, will be given you as well. Therefore, the success of men in front of the storm of difficulties and worries in life will not fall, because that person first listens to the voice of God. Then this same person knows what God wants him to do, and then this person puts it into practice. This is the first important point that we all on this day should have clear. The Word of God says it through the prophet Hosea in chapter 4, verse 6. "My people perish for lack of knowledge." Let's analyze this verse of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. When it says, "my people," it is not referring to the people who are outside of the church, to those who do not know Him. Our Lord says, "my people," in other words, we, it refers to us. We who go to Mass, we who pray the rosary, we who assist at a prayer group, we who are perishing for lack of knowledge, of understanding His Word. Let's repeat this again, dear brother and sister who are watching this video. What is killing me is the lack of knowledge of God. Today, we all should understand that ignorance destroys a lot in our life of faith. There are two types of ignorance, beatable and unbeatable. Let's focus on the first type, that is beatable ignorance, which is the natural type we all have. Ignorance means lack of knowledge of proper science, something I should know, but I ignore it. And this happens due to many factors, and one of them could be lack of interest. For example, you may be ignoring what is being said right now. You could say, "I did not know that." Therefore, you have in your hands or in your house a Bible that you are not studying. There are people that buy a huge Bible to put it as an ornament in their houses. We will give you another example that will help you to understand better. Who has more opportunity for success in life? He who has a professional degree, or he who did not study in elementary school? He who knows more has more opportunities than he who does not know. Therefore, if today I make the decision to seek knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of God, I will simply stop dying. I am going to leave the frustrations, the bitterness, the resentments, the insecurities, the fears, because I will know what God wants. And we ask you, don't you want to get all that out of your heart? The Word of God shows us something that we really love to point out, because we identify so much with it. Let us remember Joshua, the successor of Moses, the leader of God who introduces the Hebrew people to the Promised Land, to the inheritance that God had reserved for them. We sincerely love to reread this book of Joshua. He was born under Egyptian oppression, in the midst of people who had the mentality of slaves, spoke like slaves, acted like slaves. In other words, he had a rough past, like a lot of us. There is no doubt for any of us that the negative experiences of our past condition our present. Therefore, we are looking for God to heal. And precisely in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, Yahweh tells him, "Have I not told you, be strong and stand firm? Be fearless and undaunted, for go where you may, Yahweh your God is with you." Why do you think God said this to Joshua? God said this to him because Joshua was afraid and he was cowering out. But how can we imagine a cowardly and fearful Joshua if he was in charge of leading the Hebrew people in the blessing of God and giving them great victories? Something had to happen in Joshua to change his attitude. He listened to the word of his God, which guaranteed him victory in all his plans. "Be therefore courageous and stand very firm, being careful to keep all the law that my servant Moses laid down for you. Do not depart from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. Have the book of this law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so you will act in everything according to what is written in it. Then your undertakings will prosper. Then you will have success." Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 to verse 8. And despite his cowardice, Joshua listened to the word of God and put it into practice. The proof is in the manner in which Joshua conquers Jericho. He didn't do it like any other army. He went around 7 times in praise. No military strategist in his right mind would do that. Just a military strategist from God. That is the point. If Joshua did that, it is because he had the wall of Jericho as a great obstacle to overcome and a battle in front of him to face. At that moment, Joshua bends his knees and asks God what he should do. Listen, dear brother and sister, you who are watching this video. Joshua did not question the Lord about what motivated his decision to entrust him with the leadership of the Israelite people, even knowing his limitations, nor did he point out the differences between his army and the most numerous of the enemy. Men waste a lot of time questioning God about the why of things, instead of asking him what he should do. How much time do you waste asking God why? God is not going to tell you anything. What God wants to tell you is what to do to be successful. That was the case of Joshua. God told Joshua what to do to be successful. Let's hear what Joshua tells us in chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 7. Now, Jericho had shut and barricaded its gates for fear against the Israelites. No one came out and no one went in. Yahweh then said to Joshua, "Look, I am putting Jericho, its king, in your hands. All you warriors must march round the city. Go round the city once, doing the same on 6 successive days. 7 priests must carry 7 ram's horn trumpets in front of the ark. On the 7th day, you will go 7 times round the city, and the priests will blow their trumpets. When the ram's horn sounds, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, the entire people must utter a mighty war cry, and the city wall will collapse. And the people will then go into assault, each man straight ahead." Joshua, son of Nun, summoned the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests carry 7 ram's horn trumpets ahead of the Ark of Yahweh." To the people he then said, "Forward, march round the city, and let the vanguard march ahead of the Ark of Yahweh." And he was extremely successful in doing everything God told him to do. He lost his fearfulness, his cowardice. Upon hearing the word of God, he put it into practice and not only conquered a city, but his faith was healed. If we read some chapters later, in the Battle of Gibeon, Joshua was already someone else. His trust in God was such that he ordered the sun not to hide. Joshua then spoke to Yahweh, the day Yahweh delivered the Amorites to the Israelites. In the presence of Israel, Joshua said, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon, you too, over the vale of Aijalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon halted, until the people had taken vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of the just? The sun stood still in the middle of the sky and delayed its setting for a whole day. There was never a day like that before or since when Yahweh obeyed the voice of a man, for Yahweh was fighting for Israel. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 to verse 14. This shows us how God can transform a man if he only listens and follows his word. We'll give you another example, now in the New Testament, because this is not only found in the Old Testament. In the Gospel of Luke, there is a passage that also fascinates us, the miraculous catch of fish. We find Peter, who is in the boat after trying to fish all night. He hears the word of Jesus Christ saying to him, "Put out into deep water and pay out your nets for a catch." Peter replied, "Master, we worked hard all night long and caught nothing, but if you say so, I will pay out the nets. By your word, because you have said it, I will lower the nets, Lord." And we all know that his faith was rewarded. He had a miraculous catch. Dear brother and sister, don't you think the same could happen in your life? What you see as impossible, if you start praying, fasting, and crying out to your God, if instead of saying, "Why me?" you say, "Lord, what do I do?" Don't you think it is possible? Suddenly, the voice of God will reach your ears and your heart, and God will tell you, "Do this and do that." And you are going to see his hand when you do everything he tells you, moving in your favor. So now our question is, what should we do? This is what should concern us. Let us search each day to know what we must do in the face of any circumstance or situation. We are sure that all of us who are watching this video have problems. We are sure of that. We too have problems right now. We too face our daily tribulations. But we are aware that instead of saying, "Why, Lord?" the correct question is, "What do I do, Lord?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.